Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, and Mike Tagliere is out this week, finally taking a well-deserved break before fantasy football kicks into high gear. Good news though, we're joined by guest Jason Moore of the Fantasy Footballers. Jason, how's it going?
Oh, it's going so great. Happy to be here. I know usually Mike is the one from our show that is on the show, but he is on vacation, and so I'm stepping up in his place.
Well, you know, Mike is on vacation, and Mike is on vacation. It's kind of weird because they've got like some kind of bromance going on where they always make fun of us when Mike comes on our show. So I figure they're out like holding hands on a beach somewhere or something.
They're definitely at the lake together. There's no chance.
I figured today, though, since they can't defend themselves, was the best day to get back at them. And really, you know, we don't need to make any jokes that, like, you can't prove with actual numbers. All we have to do is talk about the rankings that just came out.
Oh!
So we're going to be producing, yes, we are going to be producing our expert accuracy rankings on Thursday. I've got a sneak peek. And you know what? I finished higher than Mike. You finished higher than your Mike. So all is good in the world.
Yeah, they talk about their Mike and Mike show, and I say, there's a reason Mike and Mike was canceled.
There's a reason they're on vacation. They were worried about the results coming out, and they knew, you know, just to stay away from Twitter when it came out.
Yeah, good stuff.
They actually both did really well. We just happened to do really, really well. So,
well, we're here for the people.
Actually, you know what? I'm just going to tell you right now on the podcast. You finished third out of 130. You did extremely well, man.
Woo! Yeah, happy to hear that.
That is awesome. And we are having the number one person come on our show later this week, so make sure to tune in for that. We're going to talk about his rankings. What we're going to do today with Jason is talk about players that we are going to be avoiding. They might be different players than one another, and maybe we'll have some good debates here, but since we both were really accurate, maybe we'll just agree on everything.
Right. We're going to have the same list, clearly.
So what we're going to do, we're going to talk about one or two quarterbacks, maybe three each, four or five running backs, four or five wide receivers, a couple tight ends that we are each avoiding. But first, I want to congratulate Jonathan from Texas for winning the signed DeAndre Hopkins jersey. I guess it works out really well that he's from Texas. And tell you all that we're giving away a signed powder blue Keenan Allen jersey with our next one from pristineauction.com. That's PRISTINE. Check out what they have for you. Some really cool stuff. And make sure to let them know Fantasy Pros sent you. That way we can keep doing our giveaways. If you want to enter this Keenan Allen giveaway, go to fantasypros.com/contest. All right, you ready to jump into this, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Very ready.
Let's go quarterback. I've got two guys that I'm definitely avoiding, like, at all costs. I want you to go first, though.
Sure. I've got three guys on my list that generally I'm avoiding. The first one being the second quarterback taken off the board, Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
Do I think he's going to have a bad season? No. But do I think he is at all worthy of where he's being drafted as the second quarterback off the board ahead of the Russell Wilsons and Tom Brady's of the world? No, I don't. I think Deshaun Watson had an electric few games. You know, he had about five games where he was on fire, but that is the smallest possible sample size. He's coming into his sophomore season, coming off of an ACL injury. I like his weapons. I love the fact that he runs the ball. But essentially, if you take Deshaun Watson, he has to perform as like the number one or number two quarterback. And even I would actually go so far as to say he has to be the number one quarterback, because if he finishes at number two, it's still not worth what you're giving up at running back or wide receiver for where you're
exactly
taking Deshaun Watson. So I'm there's no chance I will have Deshaun Watson on a single team this year.
I'll say this. I'm really glad that he's not being drafted ahead of Aaron Rodgers anymore. Well, I guess I shouldn't be. I should wish that people were drafting Watson, because that would mean that other people were falling to me, right?
Right.
Yeah, Watson is my number one guy at the position. In fact, he's my number one guy overall, and it's really not even close. There is no chance I would draft Watson in the top 100 overall. He's going in the top 50 overall right now, which is just crazy to me. And, you know, it's pretty telling if you look at ECR, which is expert consensus rankings. Like I said, 130 experts last year. So far, we've got 55 experts who have filled out their rankings for drafts. It's going to keep going up. But basically what we do is we look at what all the experts say, and they have Watson as quarterback number four, ADP. He's barely number two, almost number one. I've got him down at quarterback number nine. And,
ooh,
you know, I've mentioned a lot of these points before. Like you said, the ACL injury coming off that, very severe, very significant injury to recover from. Number two, they have no offensive line whatsoever. Number three, if you take his touchdown rate, which was like historically high, and you just bring it down to, let's say, Tom Brady's career rate. I'm not saying Deshaun Watson is anywhere close to Tom Brady, but let's just be conservative and bring it down to Tom Brady's rate. He goes from quarterback number one in those 5 weeks. 5 weeks sample size, by the way, which is tiny. Blake Bortles was the number one quarterback for 5 weeks at one point. But 5 week sample size, if you bring his touchdown rate down, he's quarterback number eight. Everyone thinks he was so great, it's just because of the touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I mean, the touchdowns were out of control. They weren't replicable, not on a long term. Unless you think that he's getting 50 touchdowns or, you know, going to challenge, you know, Peyton Manning's all-time record. He's not going to return value. Now, I still have him as my quarterback three. Like I said, I don't think he's going to be a bad player this year. But for returning value, he's just a dead trap. And never if you take him, you will be weak elsewhere for nothing, for no reason. You're not gaining an advantage.
You know, I lied, by the way. I don't have him number nine. I have him number eight. Sorry about that, everyone. Somebody has him number 13, though. I'm really curious who this is here.
Maybe they're just predicting injury or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people think that he's got a high floor because of his running ability as well. But, I mean, coming off that injury, I'm not sure how much they're going to let him run either.
He'll run. I still think he's going to be a solid performer.
Yeah. Okay, who's your number two guy here? Since we had the same number one, I'll let you build on it.
Well, my number two guy, I think, is going to surprise you. I doubt he's on your list, but it's actually Drew Brees.
Ooh, I like Drew Brees this year. I'm curious here.
Yeah, the thing is, Drew Brees finished as a quarterback one last year, but if you had him, he was terrible for you. His, you know, percentage of games where he finished as a, you know, as a top six quarterback was virtually nil. He had so many games where he was a bust on a weekly basis. But if you know, if you factor in, think of it this way, right? He's as safe and solid as it comes, but he's never winning you weeks. If you stream off the waiver wire last year, you were going to outperform on a weekly basis what Drew Brees did. But because of his name, he is always going to be drafted very high. And the reality is, the Saints defense and the Saints team as a whole has changed drastically. No longer are they in a place where they're down 25 points going into the fourth quarter, and now it's Drew Brees air it out time.
You're right.
I think we're going to see more of what we saw last year. Last year was a little low for him, but I just think that Drew Brees, because he's Hall of Fame first ballot quarterback, I love everything about Drew Brees as both a person and historically as a fantasy player. But this year, I think his time is done, especially for where he's going.
You know, a lot of people, well, I've said this, so, you know, in the past 12 years, he's finished as a top six quarterback 11 times. Last year was the lone exception, and some people think, well, you know, it's because he's old, it's because You know, his defense is substantially better, like way better. I agree with those sentiments. Last year, he was also the most efficient he's ever been. And that makes me think, well, you know, the touchdown rate wasn't really there. If he continues to be this efficient, or maybe just takes a step backwards and the touchdown rate goes back up, he'll be substantially better. Ingram's out for the first 4 weeks. I imagine he has a top 12 quarterback season. Right now, his ECR is number 7. I just think he's a safe play, but you're right. If you can get a streamer that's more reliable than Drew Brees, it doesn't really make sense to draft him.
Yeah, it's really ironic because, you know, he finishes a quarterback 1 as a top 12 guy, but he just wasn't. 25% of his games last year, he actually finished as a quarterback 1 in the week. I mean, that was behind Eli Manning. So not worth the name.
Well, Tex and I have been talking about VBD, value-based drafting, and I absolutely love it. But what it does is it takes your stats over the whole season, not your stats above the replacement level player, which is the best guy in waiver wires. And I think it should go week to week, and that's a stat that I'm hoping that Fantasy Pros will start building here for me so we can actually analyze, like, how many times was Drew Brees actually better than the streamer? Because the streamer option at quarterback is so much better. That's why we draft quarterbacks late.
Yeah, exactly. All right, who you got?
Carson Wentz is my other guy, and it's very similar to Deshaun Watson coming off a big injury. The really high touchdown rate, he doesn't throw all that much, and I've got so much hate from Philadelphia fans, and credit to them for loving their team, but I just don't think Carson Wentz is a top 5 fantasy quarterback. All those stats are going to come crashing down.
Yeah, the stats are going to come crashing down coming into this season. Into this offseason, as soon as the year was over, it was that two-pack for me. It was Watson and Wentz that I was like, I'm going to be avoiding them because they were so on fire and people are going to be expecting, you know, that to be replicated. That being said, you know, I've seen Carson Wentz in drafts fall to the 8th, 9th, 10th round in certain leagues. So I think people are they're not doing what they did with Deshaun Watson. It's not like you have to draft Carson Wentz as the first or second quarterback. I do expect regression.
That's true.
But his ADP isn't too bad for me.
So where would you take Carson Wentz?
I mean, I don't really take any quarterback until the 10th round. So if he fell to the 10th, sure, I would nab him up. But the reality is I do still have other quarterbacks very late, you know, a Philip Rivers who's always going to be there when Carson Wentz is there that I have, you know, confidence in. So we go at the Fantasy Footballers by tier-based drafting. And so the tiers would essentially dictate to me that if Carson Wentz is there in the 10th, there's probably so many other people there that I'm still going to go another position.
Agree. Yeah. And I think Drew Brees and Philip Rivers are very similar type of quarterbacks. Same with Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins. You could get any of those guys. You could get Philip Rivers, 13th, 14th round. So if you're just going for a safe quarterback that's not going to win you weeks, why not just wait and get Philip Rivers or Matt Ryan?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I'm also all about that Big Ben this year with their defense.
Ooh, how high do you have Big Ben? Is he like up there by Cam Newton?
I'm really, like, I've never been a Big Ben supporter, but I actually have him as my number 5 quarterback this year. Possibly the hardship there is the fact that I have him playing 16 games, which, you know, he averages 14 games a season.
Yeah.
So, but if he plays 16, what we saw with Big Ben the second half of last year.
Minus the Jacksonville game.
you could say that about everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Minus the Jacksonville game. So I think Big Ben is a guy that will go out and win weeks in major fashion for you.
What do you think about him on the road? Because I know a lot of people can say, I mean, what difference does it make? It's still a football stadium. It's not like the weather is that different anywhere else. But it's such a big sample size. Are you worried about him on the road?
Historically, certainly I am. The thing about Big Ben is that this last year, his home road splits were not what we've seen in the past. I mean, usually in the past, he's been a completely different player, home and away. But I think in 2017, you're talking about a guy who, you know, it wasn't as drastic as in years past.
Mm-hmm. I've got a couple other guys here. Jimmy Garoppolo. This one really doesn't matter unless you're playing two quarterback leagues, but Jared Goff. Garoppolo had an extremely easy strength of schedule in his final five games, whatever it was that he played, except for against Jacksonville. And he was actually pretty good against Jacksonville, but the receiver core is not great. I'm just not as excited about Jimmy G as other people. His ADP right now is quarterback number 9. I'm not really buying that. And then Jared Goff, ADP number 11, which doesn't make sense. He wasn't a top 12 quarterback last year, and he still had a huge touchdown rate.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff is the last name on my list. Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy where when I came into this offseason, I was thinking, look, he's not a guy that throws a ton of touchdowns. Kyle Shanahan's system usually rushes more touchdowns as far as
you're right.
by comparison to league average than passing touchdowns. So I was kind of against him. I was making a case against Garoppolo, but the more that I dug in and researched and looked at the stats and looked at historical data and some film, it was like, I don't think I want to plant my flag on that because he might just actually be really good. I have him ranked far lower than the ninth quarterback, so certainly he belongs. But Jared Goff is silly to me. I mean, you've got a team that was unfathomably outproducing what their expectation was last year. Jared Goff went from a guy that was already thrown away, just a bust because he was so bad the rookie year. I mean, you know, so bad, to coming around, turning around, and throwing almost a 6% touchdown rate.
So many long touchdowns, too, to Gurley, to Robert Woods, to Sammy Watkins.
That's the issue. That's the issue that we talk about at the Fantasy Footballers is the fact that you look at Carson Wentz, and when he got in the red zone, man, he would target a guy, find a guy in the end zone, and he'd rifle it in there for a great score. But when you go back and watch every touchdown that Jared Goff threw, it's like, oh, there's a good screen pass that just went to the house. Those things aren't always replicatable. I don't see Goff anywhere near where he's being drafted right now.
Now, this doesn't really fit with the topic, but I want to ask you, because I know that you guys are Cardinals fans. That's right, by the way, right?
That is correct. We are located in Arizona and unapologetically Cardinals fans.
So I've recently come on to Sam Bradford in two quarterback leagues when I realized that he has the best quarterback rating of any quarterback in his past 16 games. Now, I understand he's injury prone, but when he plays, he gets Larry Fitzgerald, he gets David Johnson. I actually think that he is a top 20 quarterback.
Yeah, if while he's playing, he could be a top 20 quarterback. I think part of the problem, if you look at just the holistic picture of the Cardinals, is at the very beginning of the season, they open up with a brutal pass rush schedule. They have an awful offensive line. That does not bode well for Sam Bradford and those knees. And then if you look at some of the quotes coming out of camp, Patrick Peterson talking about Josh Rosen just impressing the heck out of him. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think the transition will be made. I have the split right now at 8 games apiece, but I'm questioning if that needs to move more in Rosen's favor. So look, while he's playing, the weapons are there. I think passing to David Johnson out of the backfield will be great. And what we saw, I mean, just go back and watch the film on week one last year with Bradford against New Orleans. And it's like a best all-time highlight. I just don't think he stays healthy.
Okay, yeah, I think that you're probably right. But again, you know, you can just stream. And what I'd like to do, in fact, is go ahead and get myself a Matt Ryan or some safe quarterback and then get Sam Bradford and Lamar Jackson. I figure by the time Bradford gets hurt, Jackson's going to take over and he's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you know what you might be able to actually do, and maybe it's not as high-powered as Bradford would be, but you know, I have been for quite a while a very big anti-Flacco proponent. However, I'm all in on Lamar Jackson. I love him. I think he plays this season. But the only way that he doesn't play this season to me is if Joe Flacco pulls an Alex Smith, which is last year. You know, you had a guy that just refused to throw down the field, refused to open really open the offense up in Alex Smith. Then they draft a rookie who comes in, gets a bunch of publicity, and now all of a sudden it lights a fire under him.
You're right.
He opens it up, and all of a sudden Alex Smith was a top five quarterback for fantasy. So Flacco has a deep ball, but he hasn't been throwing it lately, and he's also had garbage as far as weapons. Not that
they're
that good this year, but he does have.
Much better. He's not going to be throwing to Benjamin Watson as his number one target, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't even think Breshad Perriman makes the team.
Yeah.
I mean, if Joe Flacco surprises and is actually a serviceable guy, then if you do the Flacco Lamar Jackson stack, if he sucks, you're going to have Jackson sooner rather than later. If he doesn't suck, then you got a quarterback that doesn't suck.
Yeah, I definitely think that's possible. I mean, we saw him play great in the playoffs. I mean, his regular season record is, his stats really aren't that impressive, but he's got the big arm. I could see it happening. And, you know, last year he was playing. The first 2 weeks, they hardly threw the ball at all because he had that back injury he was dealing with. I bet he dealt with that the entire season because they didn't let him actually recover.
Yeah, and you could see that in the game because of how much he sucked.
Yeah, same with Derek Carr, too, last year. All right, well, we're going to move on over to running back here in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about the sponsor of today's show, Lisa Mattress. And they sent me one of these mattresses last year. They sent one to Tags, too. And, you know, when we got it, we were just so pumped. Like, oh, man, we get a mattress. This is awesome. And the mattress was so much better than I could have ever imagined. Like, okay, there's so many things about this mattress that are great, but I'm just going to tell you about one thing that really stood out to me that I didn't even think was possible. So when you're putting a baby to sleep, like you have to roll off the bed really slow so the baby doesn't get up, right? If they hear you moving, they get up. On the Lisa mattress, like if you move on one end of the mattress, the baby sits completely still. Like you can just put your cup filled with water on the mattress next to you and it's not going to spill if you move at all. If you move even quite a bit, it's not going to spill. This mattress is so comfortable and I love it. A quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnouts, make better decisions, improve your memory, and overall make fewer mistakes. It's not marketing, it's science. To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30 plus years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles. Lisa's mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody through their 110 program. They donate one mattress to every 10 they sell. That's more than 26,000 mattresses and counting. Lisa strives to leave the world better than they found it, but that doesn't stop with mattress donations. Together with the Arbor Day Foundation, Lisa plants one tree for every mattress they sell and are committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025. Don't miss these savings. Get $160 off a Lisa mattress at lisa.com/fantasypros. That's LEESA.com/fantasypros. All right, so let's move on over to running back here, Jason. And who's the first person who stands out to you as overrated here?
The first person that stands out to me as overrated is Derrick Henry. This is a guy who was obviously super highly touted coming out of college. Everyone was expecting DeMarco Murray to be irrelevant. And then it turned out DeMarco was who they preferred, and they used Derrick Henry surprisingly on third downs and other situations. And now DeMarco Murray's out of the way, and so I think people have gotten crazy thinking it's going to be the Derrick Henry show, and he's going to get all the goal line, he's going to be involved, he's going to be DeMarco Murray, and they're not giving enough credit to Deion Lewis, who they made one of the higher paid running backs in free agency this offseason. They brought him in, and if you actually look at the snap splits career-wise of both Derrick Henry and Deion Lewis, there's this facade that, well, Derrick Henry is a first and second down back, and Deion Lewis is a third down back. Yes, Deion Lewis can catch the ball incredibly well, but he's actually had the majority of his snaps on first and second down over his career, and I will not be surprised if Deion Lewis gets the bulk of the carries. I'm not projecting that, but I wouldn't be surprised. And he is most certainly going to be the primary pass catching option, which we all know, you know, even when you're looking in standard, let alone half point or full point PPR, a pass is worth more than a carry. And so you've got Deion Lewis going several rounds later. I don't think Derrick Henry is going to pay off this season. And if you just look at statistics from last year on Derrick Henry, sometimes they look good. You're like, oh man, you could find some things that look really good. But if you remember he had two different games where they were running the clock out. Basically, they just needed a first down and they win. And so it's kind of like a goal line stand. They're on their own 20 or 30 yard line and he gets the first down. You know, so the game's over. He could sit down on his bottom and the game is over. The defense basically gives up and he runs for like a 70-yard touchdown to end the game. And that happened two times where it was on a, you know, it's like, okay, that you want to talk about padding the stats. If you take those two plays out, which you cannot rely on and are very fluke weird plays, his stats aren't that great. So I think Derrick Henry is going to be a little bit overblown. He's definitely overpriced to me, and I would much rather wait a couple rounds, grab Deion Lewis.
Everybody remembers how great he was in the playoffs. I mean, do you remember they were playing like prevent defense, because who in their right mind would run the ball down 20 in a playoff game?
Right.
you know? You know, when the offseason started, I was setting my rankings and I had Derrick Henry as an RB1 because I thought, okay, they're finally going to give it to him. We'll see what he has. And he's just going to get so many touches. But then they brought in Deion Lewis. Right now, his ADP is RB17. I wouldn't draft him as a top 25 running back. I think Deion Lewis, they paid all that money to bring him in. And what you said about the first and second downs, that's who Deion Lewis is. They want Deion Lewis to be their starting running back. At least it seems that way. So for now, I'm not drafting Henry. I'm not drafting Lewis either because I don't exactly know. But and there's just other players I like. But I agree. Derrick Henry was definitely one of the names I was going to mention.
Yeah. All right. Who else you got?
Well, another name I've been mentioning, and Tags hates me for it. He wants to do some bet against me because I think Joe Mixon is going to be a bust again. He was drafted in the third round last year, and I know he was hurt. I know he was a lot heavier, but he was just an absolute bum. And remember that Gio Bernard was a top 12 running back when he took over last year, and he took over because Mixon was hurt, but I just don't think they're going to give all the touches to Mixon. Everyone says Mixon's going to be a workhorse. Yeah, he was for a couple games, and he was a dud. He had like one good game in there. So I don't understand drafting him in the third round. I get the upside. He could be a top five running back, but I'm not playing that game.
Yeah, man, I can really see both sides of it, because when you look at once he actually became the workhorse and kind of took over in week 9 and was given that opportunity after Jeremy Hill was out of the way and all of that, because a lot's made of like how inefficient he was as a runner, but actually after that point in time, he only had one game under 4 yards a carry. Was actually pretty efficient. So, and I mean, I just don't believe that the runner we saw in college, who was maybe the best running back I've seen in the last several years of scouting, including a Saquon, and those, when I looked at college film, and I'm not a college expert by any means, Joe Mixon was unbelievable. Now, I totally get your argument that, like, he had opportunity and didn't do much with it, but I also think the Bengals were just an unmitigated disaster last year. Their offensive line
so bad. You're right.
Was trash. And so if they improve a couple of things here this season, maybe get John Ross actually on the field and have some speed on the outside. I will be drafting Mixon. I don't see him as a guy unworthy of drafting, but he certainly is a bust candidate. He could just flop and be what he was. If he was then certainly he could. But like you said, there's not a lot of guys going where he's going that have the potential to be a top five, and that's why I'm willing to kind of go in with him.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if he outperforms Alvin Kamara this year.
Ooh.
And that sounds weird for someone I'm not drafting, but I just think it's more than likely you're wasting a third-round pick on someone who he's such a polarizing player. And I get the other side, but I'm not touching him. There's just other guys I like more. Like, would you rather have Joe Mixon or Christian McCaffrey, who's super solid every week?
Yeah, if it's a PPR, I'd definitely choose McCaffrey. Okay. If it's standard, I'd probably go Mixon. So they're very close to me.
Okay, what about like Jordan Howard, LeSean McCoy? Would you rather have Mixon than those guys?
Yeah, you know, that'll lead me right into my next guy, which is LeSean McCoy.
Yes.
I'm just avoiding him. Every single draft that I do, whether it's a mock draft or a real draft, whenever someone takes Shady ahead of me, I'm so relieved. Because
me too.
According to my rankings, I like him. You know, I've statted him out. If he plays 16 games, it's one of those things where it's like, man, how does he not touch the ball 315 times? And I don't think he's going to be very efficient with it. But even still, if you touch the ball 315 times, you're going to have fantasy relevance. But all the flags in the world are pointing towards this could be the end. I mean, you're on a putrid team. Sorry, Buffalo fans. I know you're a playoff team.
They were like negative 150 in point differential last
year. Exactly. Yeah, we could say you were a playoff team, but you got to watch the tense there because you are not a playoff team. You've got, you know, the offensive line, the left side of that line is just gone, retired or traded. I don't believe in Josh Allen or A.J. McCarron as a quarterback to relieve any pressure.
So you're a Nathan Peterman truther? Is that what you're saying, Jason?
No, he was third to me on that list. No, I am an anti-Buffalo quarterback truther.
Agree.
Right now. You know, so look, Shady, he's proven it. You know, he's had doubters before, and he always proves them wrong. Could he prove me wrong? Absolutely. But I'm avoiding him because he's old. He's got a ton of mileage on the legs. He's going to be on a team that is down, a team that is not able to run in the fourth quarter, a team that I don't expect to have much scoring volume. It's like, okay, what are they going to average per game in Buffalo? How are they going to move the ball down the field and score? I just don't see it. So for those reasons, I'm out.
I've got him RB17. He's a name I was going to mention as well. I mean, you look at his game logs last year. In 16 games, he had 8 games where he wasn't even an RB3. How does that happen? If you're a workhorse, how does that happen?
He had the lowest yards per carry of his career. I mean, you started to see the beginning of the end, and then as soon as the offensive line left, I can't put my chips in that early. Yeah. I mean, you know, if he drops several rounds, then of course I will.
We've seen this over and over and over again with running backs in fantasy football, and it's just time. It was time last year.
Yeah, it might have been.
All right, my next guy is going to be even more controversial than Joe Mixon, but I am not touching Leonard Fournette this year.
Oh, we them's fighting words.
I'm a Jags fan too, so this is...
I just moved Leonard Fournette up in my rankings today.
It's really a simple argument, and I understand anybody who loves Leonard Fournette because he is so skilled. And they just added Andrew Norwell, right? But they're going to continue to stack the box against Blake Bortles because he's Blake Bortles. And the biggest thing is the recurring foot injury. Every single year he's got this foot injury. I just don't want to pay for a guy who's going to miss 4 games, maybe more.
No, look, the injury is a major concern. In our ultimate draft kit, we have a risk rating, and my risk rating is very high on him. So I recognize because of the foot, the ankle, the ligaments, you know, he's had injuries everywhere and, you know, in all levels. He was injured in college, injured a couple games in the NFL. But, you know, there's a lot of guys that come in and they get that injury-prone moniker, you know, oh, Frank Gore, he's injury-prone, until he's not. You know, Matthew Stafford, he's injury-prone until he's not.
You're right.
And what I know from Leonard Fournette is that he's a freak.
He's so good.
Unbelievably good player. And I think Jacksonville is going to be a far better team this year than last year. Last year, they were surprising people. I do. They go back-to-back years of having a very easy schedule. Last year, I think they had the easiest schedule. This year, the projected like fourth easiest schedule. And so, to me, I think I want a running back that's getting great volume. He was surprisingly involved in the passing game, too. I don't think people recognize that. When he played, he was awesome. He didn't ever play and bust. He just missed a couple games. So that's one of those.
Well, he played injured a couple games, and they took it really easy on him. Like, they took him out in a game that they were winning because he was hurt, and they just used Chris Ivory there. But, yeah, whenever he was on the field, I mean, we're talking about another Zeke.
Yeah, I mean, he was an RB1 or 2, 84% of the games he played. The only players that were better than that were Zeke, Gurley, Lev Bell, and David Johnson. I want that on my team. He's a guy that could go and have 2 touchdowns. I mean, there's very few players in the NFL that you could say, okay, just like Todd Gurley last year, just like David Johnson the year before, he could get 20 touchdowns.
Oh, man, that would be amazing.
Right, but I'm just saying you can't really say that about many guys. I mean, you can say that about Lev Bell. You could say that about Gurley. But I think Fournette is one of those type of players where you could say he could have 15, 16, 17 crazy amounts of touchdowns. Those win fantasy championships. So I'm actually loving Fournette. But I do grant you the injury worries.
Yeah, and that's really all it comes down to is, you know, first round running back, maybe early second round. I don't want to pay for someone that I think is probably going to get hurt. And you're exactly right. There have been some quote-unquote injury-prone guys who turned out to be among the most durable. We'll see what happens there. I've just been burned so many times by players like that. I did want to mention, though, one other guy that I could see getting 20 touchdowns. I'm not banking on this. I would bank on him getting double-digit touchdowns at least, though, is Sonny Michel. He's being drafted as the RB24 right now. Do you think that he's going to be able to get those touches in New England?
Yeah, if he doesn't fumble. I mean, he's got a massive fumbling problem in college, and the coaches have even come out, you know, because the Patriots are one of those teams where you fumble, you go to the bench.
You die.
You could be great, but then it's like, no, I don't want a running back that fumbles. And if he fumbles, the coaching staff has already said, yeah, we have stuff in place if he fumbles, which is he sits on the bench. So
that's scary.
That's pretty scary to me, yeah.
What kind of upside do you think he has, though? Like, let's say he doesn't fumble.
Upside, I mean, if he ends up getting the workload, a lot of times people think that the Patriots running backs are just massive committee. But you look a couple years ago, LeGarrette Blount was, an extreme volume play for fantasy. I think if he ends up in that, 55-60% running back market share, then he could be a top 12 running back at the end of the season. The issue with New England running backs is it's hard to predict which weeks. A lot of times you're wrong.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
The biggest things here, though, is that if you look at the Patriots' goal line carries within the 5, carries within the 10, carries within the 2, the Patriots outpace everyone so much that the difference between number 1 and number 2 every single year is almost as big as the difference between like number 2 and number 20. So you know he's going to get a ton of goal line carries if he's the guy. Some are saying it's going to be James White, some Rex Burkhead. I don't know, but if it's Sony Michel, oh man, he's going to be a great pick in the 7th round.
Man, I keep wanting, over and over, this is like the 6th time, I just want to predict the demise of the Patriots, because it's going to happen at some point. I think this could be the year, and I keep thinking that. And
they're going to go 6-0 in their division.
That's the problem. That's what I was going to bring up, is like, man, can someone else in that division be decent? I mean, we just talked about Buffalo. And Miami and the Jets. I mean, Buffalo.
Those are the two, three worst teams in football.
Buffalo, I just disparage them. Apologies, Buffalo fans. But they could be the second best in their division. the Patriots, they can collapse and still finish first in the division.
Yeah, I think so as well. I mean, even if they play horrible football, like 8-8's going to win that division. The Patriots aren't going to go 8-8. They're going to get another bye, probably.
Yeah, it's, thanks to the 6-0.
Yeah, like 7-8 years in a row, whatever that is, it's just amazing. All right, do you have any other running backs before we move on that you're avoiding?
A couple guys. I'm not a huge fan of Jay Ajayi. I think Ronald Jones is going to be a bust. I'm not a fan of his college tape, and I don't like the vibes from Tampa Bay. And the last one I'll just gloss over is I am a Mark Ingram truther, have been for years, have been beating the drum every year. Why is he dropping in drafts? Draft him. He's been a top 10 running back, and I'm avoiding him this year. I mean, you get one game out of the first 6. Now, in best ball leagues, I take him because I get the whole season. But in redraft leagues, like, you got to make the playoffs. And sure, if you're in an easy league where you beat up on your opponents and you're always in the playoffs, then sure, draft Mark Ingram. But if it's a competitive league, I don't want a bench spot filled up. You know, he's 29 years old. Keep in mind, he's coming off of PED, so we don't know exactly how he was. He's in a contract year, meaning they might look, I don't think he's back the next year. So maybe if someone steps up, maybe his role changes just a little. I still think he's good in the second half of the year, but I don't want to draft him. I want to acquire him after a couple weeks.
That's fair. Yeah, I think they run him into the ground. And, we're doing our expert mock draft right now with a bunch of the best names in the industry. And they're all going to be, like, so jealous of you and your expert accuracy ranking. But I just drafted Mark Ingram in the 5th round because he took Sammy Watkins ahead of me. So basically, you're making fun of me.
Yeah, there you go. I take Sammy and then I make fun of your pick.
Yeah, Andy Behrens took Aaron Rodgers right before me, too. I can't believe he dropped to the 5th round.
I had queued my picks up, and it was Sammy Watkins, Aaron Rodgers. In the 5th round,
yeah.
I'm willing to take him.
Yep, I was, too. I had Rodgers, Watkins, Ingram, and I got stuck with Ingram, and I was bummed about it. But, such is life. There's one other name I want to mention, and it's Jordan Howard. I'm just a little bit worried about, Nagy coming to town and wanting a pass-catching running back, and he's just the worst that has ever lived on this planet, so I don't know how big his role is actually going to be. I don't think he's going to be the same workhorse we were used to seeing.
I feel like he tries to catch the ball with his elbows locked, like you know what I mean? Just like alligator arm it. He is a terrible pass catcher, but I don't mind Jordan Howard because he's going in the third round. And the offense will be better. I think that's where he belongs. I mean, he's a guy. I was on another podcast where, you know, we were talking about guys we're just kind of meh about. I'm not against him. I'm not, like, for him. I think he's just being drafted where he should.
I guess I'm not going out of my way to avoid him like I am with LeSean McCoy. It's just I'm not having any shares of Howard because there's other guys I like a lot better in that range.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, wide receiver. Do you have one for us that you're avoiding?
A wide receiver?
Yeah.
Definitely have some wide receivers I'm avoiding. Josh Gordon, I mean, I am avoiding for sure.
So you're on that side of the fence, huh? His ADP right now is 16.
Yeah, you know, depending on where you're looking. So, like, Fantasy Football Calculator, obviously you guys are going to use Fantasy Pros. Their average draft position in PPR, he is the 12th wide receiver being taken.
That is so stupid.
And it's like at that value, like I like Josh Gordon. He could be the guy. I think he works better with Tyrod. But the thing is you've got a known midseason quarterback change coming. You still got the Browns. You actually have targets to go around. I know you can go, well, Josh.
Hey, what's he going
to
get, 90 targets?
Yeah, Josh Gordon was on the Browns, and he was the fantasy wide receiver number one. But that was when it was Josh Gordon and no one else. Now you got Duke Johnson and Jarvis Landry and, Corey Coleman. So I just think, how is he going to capitalize on that and finish as a wide receiver 12? So, he's a guy. It's funny. Depending on where you're looking, I have a three-pack to me at wide receiver 12, 13, and 14, Josh Gordon, Tyreek Hill, and T.Y. Hilton, where I just don't like their values there. So many changing things happening. You know, with T.Y. Hilton, I'm basically avoiding all Colts until I'm not doing any. This year, there is absolutely no sympathy, no projection of health. He's playing all out in the preseason, or I'm not drafting Colts.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I'm fine with Hilton, like, for best ball leagues right now. I'm taking a chance because if he's healthy, if Andrew Luck is healthy, obviously T.Y. Hilton's fine. He's a wide receiver. He's a top 10 wide receiver. With that said, it's amazing how big of a difference Andrew Luck makes. It makes you wonder how good he actually is. And just how good Ryan Grant could be in this offense.
Yeah, I wanted to make a case for Ryan Grant a few weeks ago when we were looking at kind of those sleeper picks. And when I went back and researched a healthy Andrew Luck, every season that he played well, and who the wide receiver two was on the team, I couldn't believe it. There was like no top 50 wide receiver. He uses his wide.
Wow.
I know. Well, he uses tight ends a lot. You know, it was Kobe Fleener and it was Dwayne Allen. And now he's got Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle and T.Y. Hilton and then the running back. So you're talking about maybe the fourth or fifth option in the offense. And that's just not going to get it done. I was surprised too. I was like, how? He was the quarterback one. He's the quarterback four. How is his wide receiver two not good? Because you look at most great quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers. You want that wide receiver too. You want the wide receiver too on so many of these different offenses. But I wrote down Ryan Grant, started to make a case, and then I went, okay, undo. I can't make the case.
That's a really good point, and it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
I kind of wish you hadn't brought it up so I could just, continue to draft Ryan Grant and be so proud of myself.
Yeah, edit it out of the podcast. It never happened.
Yeah, that way nobody has to know about me being wrong on that one. Okay, here's the first one that I'm avoiding. You actually mentioned him. It is it's Tyreek Hill. And Tags and I have been beating this drum all preseason. We're going to continue to do it. I'm going to start yelling louder and louder if people don't start listening to me. And I don't know. I mean, I don't really think I'm like have a big enough voice to be an ADP changer. So I don't know how I would know if people were listening to me. But Tyreek Hill needs to stop being drafted as a top 10 wide receiver, people. This is absolutely nuts.
It really is. I mean, I think I saw Scott Barrett tweet out something about how in the modern era since 2000, he's pretty much the largest outlier when it comes to fantasy finish versus targets. He has not had another wide receiver opposite him worth anything. Sorry, Albert Wilson truthers. And now Sammy Watkins comes into town. You have a quarterback change. There's so much going on where, if I'm drafting a top 10 wide receiver, here's what I'm, when I, Jason Moore, I'm drafting, I want to know I get 130 plus targets. Like, that's what I want to be able to project. And what's Tyreek Hill's cap? Like 100 targets?
Yep. Yeah, last year he was at 97, right? And they bring in Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be hard to replicate all. Now, he'll have his big games because people can't catch him on the field. But, you know, I agree. I mean, he's definitely on my list of overrated right now. I would much rather get Sammy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him drop to the seventh round. I mean, I just drafted him in our other expert league. I think he matches.
His ADP is 26. And yeah, I'd rather have Sammy Watkins than Tyreek Hill too, which is crazy. I mean, if you want someone who's going to have a big game every once in a while, Marvin Jones is being drafted ADP 25. And he was better than Tyreek Hill last year.
Right.
It's just, I don't understand this. The touchdowns are coming down. The targets are coming down. Everything is coming down. Patrick Mahomes is nowhere close to Alex Smith level. I don't care how good he is. Alex Smith was an MVP candidate last year. I doubt Mahomes is going to be that as a, you know, basically a rookie.
The Chiefs last season were a top six scoring offense in the NFL, and that took a career year from Alex Smith to project them with a new, for all intents and purposes, rookie quarterback. To improve on that would be silly. To stay the same would probably be just defying the odds, and to take a small regression would be the, you know, probability leader. So, yeah, it's tough because he was so touchdown dependent.
I saw somebody on Twitter saying that they were going to draft Tyreek Hill over Odell Beckham this year because he outscored Odell Beckham last year. What a horrible argument. I don't know how people can put that on Twitter behind their name.
Yeah,
oh,
Duke
man.
Johnson, greater sign, David Johnson. He outscored him last year.
All right, who's your next guy?
Let's see. I kind of threw out a bunch there, but I'll go with Allen Robinson.
Me too.
I don't hate drafting him in the fourth round because, like I said, I want a guy I can project for more than 130 targets, and that is, he's in a role where that could happen. However, we don't know that that's going to happen. We don't know how they're going to use Anthony Miller and Taylor Gabriel and Trey Boo Boo, as we call him, Trey Burton. You know, it's one of those things where he's still got so much hype from that incredible 15 touchdown season. He followed that up in Jacksonville with a disappointing season.
Like wide receiver 30, right?
Right. Followed that up with obviously 100% catch rate last season. He caught the one pass that he got injured on. But you're coming back off of an ACL, new team, new scheme, new quarterback. You weren't, you know, an elite level guy beforehand. If Allen Robinson has a great season, is a top 24 wide receiver, I think I've got him right now projected as a top 24 wide receiver, so I won't be surprised. But there's too many things for me, for the guys that are going around him, where,
agree.
You know, just too many changing parts, unknowns, red flags, where I don't want to bank on him. In the fourth round, you're always drafting good players. And, you know, I avoid risk in those early rounds.
It's not even close for me. I would so much rather have Brandon Cooks, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Larry Fitzgerald, Amari Cooper. I'm not even thinking about drafting Allen Robinson. I mean, he's coming off the big surgery. He's going to an offense that passed like four times a game last year. And I know Nagy's coming into town, but there's a reason that they didn't pass for Trubisky. It's because he's just not ready. And I understand an offseason can do a lot. It happened with Jared Goff, but I'm just not willing to put all my eggs in that basket that all these things work out for Allen Robinson. And he bounces back from a terrible season, a terrible injury. He goes to a quarterback who did absolutely nothing last year. He's competing with all these guys. All those things have to work. It's not going to happen.
Like you said, Larry Fitzgerald, Amari Cooper, Demaryius Thomas, Golden Tate. Those guys are tried, true, in great situations that you know. The only guy I would disagree with you on is Brandon Cooks, who could very well be on this list for me. I am not a fan of Brandon Cooks this season.
Let's talk about that then, because I have Brandon Cooks as my number 13 wide receiver.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
So, you know, you look at what he did the past two seasons, and he was in similar situations where he had a bunch of people to compete with. In fact, more people to compete with than he has in Los Angeles. And a lot of people...
There's no way you could say he was in similar situations with more people to compete with for targets. People got injured last year. You know, Chris Hogan was gone. Malcolm
You're
Mitchell
right.
was gone. Everybody got injured before the
Brock,
season.
Brock, though, and Tom Brady passes to his running back so much.
And Julian Edelman was gone.
It wasn't a good offense for Brandon Cooks to be
prior
in.
Prior to the season, it looked like, yeah, he was going to have to compete with a lot of targets, but he didn't actually. It was Gronk and him. And then, you know, back in the day with you've also got Drew Brees and Tom Brady who have been throwing him the ball. Now you go to Jared Goff, who both of
That's
us just
true.
Said is overrated.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, I mean, his number one target could very well be Cooper Kupp this season. It could very well be Robert Woods this season. You've got Cooks as basically a field stretcher. And if you look at last season, I mean, Sammy Watkins was there. He didn't get a ton of targets. So I think you're going to see something that you've never seen from Brandon Cooks before, which is he's not the clear-cut number one outside wide receiver for sure. And he doesn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing him the ball. He doesn't separate a lot. So, yeah, I mean, I worry. He's one of those guys where, and we disagree within the fantasy footballers. I know Andy is on Cooks. He's more where you're at. I am very much, I don't think I'll have a share of Cooks this season.
Okay. He's past three seasons, wide receiver 12, wide receiver 8, wide receiver 7, and he's still just 24 years old.
Yeah, I mean, those things are true. Can't argue with that.
And the things you said are true as well. I understand. I mean, that's why I laughed about it when I said it, is because it's a controversial thing to believe. But, you know, Sammy Watkins came right before the preseason. He hardly knew the playbook. He was out there. And I mean, this is a guy who thinks the earth is flat, okay?
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
No.
Or he's just making it up. I think he's got to be doing it for, like, publicity or something.
Yeah.
But either way, someone to say that, pretty stupid dude, right? So I think he had a hard time learning the playbook. Brandon Cooks is, I think he's going to be fine. He's got the whole offseason. I think he becomes the guy, and I'm not drafting Kupp or Robert Woods as a result of that.
Oh, I love
I think
Kupp.
Cooks is so much better.
Yeah, but okay, so Kupp could be the one, or Cooks could be the one, but one of those guys you're getting at the very end of a draft and one you've got to pay up for.
That's true.
And we just named all those other great wide receivers that I could pivot to where Cooks is going. So that I'll take a Kupp of Cooper, please.
For what it's worth, Cooks is going wide receiver 17. ECR has him down at 22, so the experts don't like him as much as the general public.
There you go.
All right, and you're next here, Jason. Who do you have?
The last guy on my list, I'm not like super against this guy, but Corey Davis is, to me, he's just one of those guys where it's like, I feel like they're going to spread the ball around a lot. I'm actually a fan of the Titans this season. I like Mariota. So you think, well, how do you like Mariota? And you're kind of cold on Corey Davis. Corey Davis didn't show a ton. I realize he was injured early. He was, we talk about getting into the playbook, and he did show up great in the playoffs. There's plenty of reasons to believe that he could take a step forward. He's being drafted, depending on which format you're looking at, you know, around the wide receiver 25 to 28. I'm okay with him there because, you know, if he finishes a wide receiver 2, he should. He was a top 5 NFL draft pick. But if they do essentially what the Rams did, right, with you got LaFleur coming over and going massive 3 wide sets, spreading it around and getting Rishard Matthews, who was, you know, the most disrespected wide receiver of all time, or he's up there.
Yeah.
Nobody ever wants Rishard Matthews, and he's been a good wide receiver. I'm a big fan of Taywan Taylor, Deion Lewis out of the backfield. I just don't think that Corey Davis is definitely the target hog. I don't think he's going to be up in that 27-28% target share where I think people are hoping, because he's got the talent. He's definitely an elite guy. So he's lukewarm on my list. I would draft him if he dropped. I'm not anti Corey Davis, but I like other people more.
I think Mariota is not really the type of quarterback who's going to have a target hog. I think Davis could be that guy. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. He just looked, I won't say lost, but so unprepared for the NFL last year that I don't think he's going to take that big step forward. Now, he could, but again, he's one of these guys, ADP 28, ECR 32. The experts don't like him as much. And then the other guy that you mentioned, Rishard Matthews, absolute opposite. ADP 58. That's like undrafted. Mm-hmm. ECR 46. Matthews is like a borderline flex play.
Yeah, no, I actually like Rishard Matthews just based on where he's going. He's very similar to the Cooper Kupp, where if I'm in a round where, okay, if there's another guy I really like, so like Chris Hogan, I really like Chris Hogan this year. He's going right next to Corey Davis. I'll draft him, who I am pretty confident is the number one outside wide receiver for the Patriots, and then late grab Rishard Matthews if I want a piece of that Titans versus the opposite, where you grab Corey Davis and then late you're taking someone that you don't like.
Yeah. I've got three more guys. I actually had you go like two or three times in a row on accident. I don't know why, but okay, so I'm just going to say them in order here. One of them is going to be a surprise. It's DeAndre Hopkins. And it's not that I don't love DeAndre Hopkins. I just don't love him anywhere close to as much as Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones.
I wouldn't
even take Michael Thomas out of him.
Oh, man. You are right now scratching an itch that I don't know what to do because it feels really good, but I don't want to admit it. I don't want to come out and say that I am. I mean, you just can't be anti-DeAndre Hopkins right now. It's too faux pas. But
we're all against Watson, though, right?
Yes. I mean, whatever arguments you're about to make, I'm sure I support them completely.
Yeah, and what it comes down to, one of our writers tipped me off to this, and it's a really good point. Like, you look at what Hopkins has done throughout his career, every single season, even last year when he was just awesome, was not as good as Odell Beckham's worst season. Julio Jones, I know he's not scoring the touchdowns. Everyone knocks him for being, not durable, not consistent. He's missed one more game than Antonio Brown over the last three seasons. I mean, he's had as many top 36 wide receiver games as Antonio Brown. He's had as many top 12 wide receiver games as Antonio Brown. He's not Antonio Brown because he doesn't score touchdowns, but I would much rather have him than Hopkins, who, I don't like Watson. I do like Matt Ryan. Hopkins was really good last year with whoever it was throwing the ball. I don't even remember because they had so many crummy guys.
Well, no, you were correct. It was with whoever was throwing him the ball.
Yes, exactly. He was actually better with that than with Deshaun Watson. So I like Hopkins. I'm fine with drafting him in the top 10, but where he's going right now, no, not ahead of Beckham and Jones and maybe Thomas.
Yeah, I've got him four, so obviously I'm not anti-DeAndre Hopkins, but the target share percentage and the touchdown rate of Deshaun Watson says there could very well be regression. But I'm not anti-Hopkins because you do know that he will have an incredible target total and that he's very talented. So you can't really be off of him. But yeah, I have him fourth behind Odell Beckham, Julio, and Antonio.
I guess he's not exactly a player I'm avoiding because, like, if he's sitting there at number 10 and I've got the 10th pick, sure, I'll take DeAndre Hopkins. But where he's going right now, I'm not even thinking about him. It's not even in consideration. My next guy here is Devin Funchess, and this is my biggest wide receiver that I'm avoiding. Right now, he's going to ADP 27. Greg Olsen comes back. Christian McCaffrey is going to get a lot of work. They just drafted a wide receiver in the first round, and Funchess is just kind of a decent wide receiver. He's not somebody that I would start week to week.
Yeah, I like Funchess, but I agree with what you're saying. I mean, DJ Moore is one of my favorite late-round targets this year. He's a guy that I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be used right off the bat. Cam might not be the best quarterback in the pocket, but he has supported several good wide receiver options in fantasy. He made Kelvin Benjamin relevant, and obviously when he had Steve Smith, he was great. So, yeah, DJ Moore is a guy to me that I've got him just a little bit behind a wide receiver three right now,
okay.
But I won't be surprised at all if he ends up as the number one. He probably should be the number one rookie wide receiver this season. So
I think
that,
so too.
If that happens, that comes at the expense of Funchess.
Yeah, I could definitely see Gallup doing it. But if I'm betting on anyone, it's more. Actually, you know what? Ridley, I like him in that offense as well. Those are the only three guys I think are really draftable. Two other guys I'm avoiding, I'll just say them really quick. Adam Thielen.
No!
You're drafting Adam Thielen?
I am not only am I drafting Adam Thielen, I'm doing a handstand. Go look at our expert draft and look
who I'm so glad I mentioned him then because I almost didn't. I almost just said Juju Smith-Schuster and then just left it at that.
Oh, no! You're talking about two of my favorite guys!
All right, I'll let you make your case first.
Oh, okay. Here's my case for Adam Thielen. One, one, he's great. Two, he's done it. He's a hometown, homegrown kid who is awesome. His target volume is assured. His quarterback just got upgraded. I realize there's a little bit of change, but, you know, is Diggs going to stay healthy? Adam Thielen is locked and loaded to me. He is a great player. And as far as Juju, I completely understand the kind of, when you look at the safe options around where he's being drafted, you go, man, if I was going to pick a bust, I would pick Juju. And I get that. But I believe that Juju's talent is fully legit.
What's his upside? Could he be a wide receiver one?
I think he could be a wide receiver one. And I know the statistics behind what Big Ben has done or rather hasn't done in supporting, you know, two high-end wide receiver ones or wide one and a two. But I think that it's a different case with Juju, and this is part of why I have Big Ben as my quarterback five. I really do think that Juju's talent wins out. I mean, the second if you look at what he did last season, I mean, there was a stretch from the first game that Martavis missed where he was, from that point on, rest of the season, he was the wide receiver five.
You're right. Keelan Cole was a top five wide receiver over the last 5 weeks, though, too.
That is true, but I also like Keelan Cole.
Yeah, so. I like Keelan Cole, too. There's one point of agreement here, and, you know, our rankings are going to change over the season. That's why we have these conversations, and we try to bring on the smartest people. I mean, this is why we have the conversation. I've learned some things today, and I'll probably adjust my rankings accordingly as I think it over. I guess the difference here is that I don't trust Big Ben to be a top five quarterback. I understand why you see it happening, but I'm looking at what he's done in the past. Quarterback 19, 12, 5, 20, 13, 10. It happened once.
Yeah, it was a decade ago. It was like 2007.
It was quite a long time. Actually, 2014, he was the number five.
That's right. That's right.
So he had a big year. I think Antonio Brown is by far the best wide receiver in football. I love James Washington as a rookie wide receiver. I think Vance McDonald takes a step forward. They still got Le'Veon Bell throwing a bunch of passes, too. So I like Juju. I love Juju as a person. He's just awesome. I like him as a football player. You watch him, and he's got a ton of talent. He's a really mature kid. I'm just not so sure he gets the target. So that's my thing with him. With Adam Thielen, Pat Shurmur's gone. Stephon Diggs was a better fantasy football player in points per game, and he played injured a couple games as well. So I think if Diggs is on the field, and I'm banking on him being, I don't have any reason to project him for an injury exactly. I think that Diggs is the guy there.
Fair enough. I mean, one of us will be right at the end of the season.
Yes, yes.
I like Diggs too, but I'm actually a big fan of the Minnesota offense this season. I think they'll support two top 24 wide receivers, but I think Thielen will be the clear cut number one.
Okay. All right. Moving on over to tight end really quick, and I'll just say my guy right from the get go. I've only got one guy that I'm avoiding. I'm fine with anybody else. In fact, I would prefer Kelce and Ertz over Gronk. So I guess that's one guy I'm kind of avoiding just because of the injury problems. Like, Gronk is so injury prone, and both those guys are pretty durable. But the one guy I want to mention is Evan Ingram. There's just no chance he gets the target share he got last season. In fact, he really wasn't that good when he got the ball thrown his way. He dropped the ball way more than anybody else. He barely outscored O.J. Howard last year, even though O.J. Howard had like 50 fewer targets.
Yeah, Evan Ingram was not efficient last year. That's the one reason, surprisingly, that I have backed away from my anti-Evan Ingram takes, is that when I look at his target volume definitely going down, I also realize that his efficiency will almost certainly go up because he is a quality receiver, but he was so inefficient. And I think part of that was the fact that he was like the main weapon on the field. Now, yeah. I think his efficiency is going to open up, but I get the arguments against him. My one guy is Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham very well could finish. He's the type of guy who could finish as the tight end three and kill your fantasy team because he has a couple games where he has two or three touchdowns. You know, outside of that, he's not a between the 20s guy. He's not going to have the yards. Aaron Rodgers, you can make the argument that
he doesn't throw to tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, you can make the argument that he hasn't had the talent at the tight end position, but it still stands to reason that he doesn't use the tight end that much, and we've got a large enough sample size to know that. So he's a guy where in best ball I like Jimmy Graham because I know he's going to get a lot of touchdowns this season, but in redraft I do not want a guy who's just going to basically give me a goose egg or a big game every other week. I'm not drafting Graham.
You know, I'm not even so sure that Graham is going to give you a ton of touchdowns. And the reason why is because shoulder injuries never go away. You know, I do fantasy baseball as well. And if you have a shoulder injury, I'm sorry, your career is basically over. And I understand wide receiver is a little bit different than throwing a baseball, but he's been dealing with this injury for a while. And if it pops back up, I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Reed plays more games than Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, interesting.
So his ADP right now is tight end 4. I've got him at tight end 8, so yeah, I guess he's a guy that I'm avoiding as well. Who would you draft over Jimmy Graham and Evan Engram? Is it Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, maybe even Trey Burton?
I mean, it's not a matter of drafting them over them, you know, as far as ADP, but I will wait and I will draft. Okay. I will draft Kyle Rudolph. I will draft Trey Burton. I will draft some of those other guys, you know, around there.
Yeah, I'm not excited about any of those guys either. All right, Jason, that's all for today's show. Really appreciate you coming on, and congrats on finishing top 3. That is a really big accomplishment.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here, and I'm sure one of us will be back again someday.
Sounds good. Thanks again to the sponsor of today's show, Lisa Mattresses. You can go to lisa.com/fantasypros for $160 off your Lisa mattress. Again, that's lisa.com/fantasypros. And make sure to get your entry in for the powder blue signed Keenan Allen jersey from pristineauction.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see oceanside relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.